Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, Fightful, here with a name you know. We've spoken to him numerous times here on Fightful. Very fortunate to do so. The reigning, defending MLW World Heavyweight Champion. Past the one-year mark since the last time we talked to him. Heading towards the two-year mark now. You can see him every Tuesday, MLW Underground on Reels. Alex Hammerstone, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. I appreciate quite the introduction.
Just stating some facts here. I mean, you have been a champion in MLW for like how many years in a row now? It's been like 3 or 4.
Yeah, man. I think I won the national title in somewhere in 2019. So yeah, it's been quite a block where there's been some gold around my waist.
I remember when your contract extension was announced, and you have been a champion throughout the entire duration of this new contract. It's very clear that MLW had a vision for you and had something and wanted to make you the guy, wanted you to be, not just make you the guy, just kind of acknowledge you as the guy in the company. How does that make you feel to see that that's all paid off exceptionally well for you, and it seems like you made the right decision?
It's great. It's really rewarding. Obviously that's kind of like one of the most important things in wrestling right now, because everybody's, obviously there's a lot of options on the table right now, and companies are at the point where people are trying to get people locked under contract, and, you know, you can agree with it or you could disagree with it. But the fact of the matter is you put someone in a prominent role, and, if they're not under contract, next thing you know, they're showing up on somebody else's TV show. So everyone's trying to get someone locked up under contract. And when you're signing those deals, there's a lot of things to consider. But, you know, the last thing anyone wants is to be getting paid to do their dream job and then not get to do their dream job, you know, and be sitting at home or be sitting in the back watching the monitors, or, you know, to be relegated to some, you know, 3-minute match on the show. So to be in a position where I get to be featured heavily, where, you know, there, like you said, there was an idea in mind, there was a vision. And that's what initially got me to sign with MLW way back in 2018 or 2019, was the presentation of, hey, we're not offering the world to you right now, but we want you. We have an idea for you. We can see what we're going to do with you. You know, like, that was like, cool, because the last thing you want is to show up and be like, hey, I'm ready to work. And they're like, oh, well, sit down. We'll get with you next month, you know?
Of course.
So that continued faith and that continued, you know, creative partnership with everybody in the back to be able to bounce ideas off and see them come to fruition. It's been really cool.
You had posted a tweet recently where you're like, a lot of people speculate about my contract. Nobody knows but me, is what you said, meaning you. Is there any clarity to that? I mean, by my assumption, I would assume at least through 2023, based on the language that MLW had put out there publicly prior.
Yeah, that's as far as I know, nobody has the exact details on whether that's the dollar figure or the length, because the only people in my life I've discussed that with are, you know, family, very close friends, most of them not even involved in the business.
And Microman.
And, you know, I've always thought wrestling was kind of weird like that, because, like, in any other sport, when someone gets, you know, they sign the rookie baseball player, it's on ESPN. You know, here's what they signed him for. Pro wrestling's always been, you know.
I've tried to normalize that. Like, I'm talking to agents, because, you know, more people are getting agents today than ever before as well. Like, I've tried to normalize that, because I know there are a lot of guys that do what I do, but they don't really care to do interviews. They're like, I'll just stick to the scoops thing. And I'm like, well, I feel like if you normalize this, it's less taboo. But I also understand that there are some people in your line of work that grew up and they think it is taboo, and that's their right to do so. That nobody owes us information or anything like that, in my opinion.
It's a tricky thing, because there's pros and cons of it. You know, if I know what my colleagues at a similar level are asking for, then maybe that makes me realize, like, oh, I was really underselling myself. You know, I should be earning more, because they're, you know, the MJF situation where he was like, hey, here's what I'm doing, and it's more than what this guy's doing, but he's getting paid six times more than me. What the hell? Yeah, that's a very valid point. At the same time, though, in pro wrestling, there is such an abundance of people who are just willing and desperate to do this job regardless of what you pay them. So they, you know, they start catching wind of, like, even on an independent level, if you say, oh, I'm working this indie for, you know, $750. And then a guy hears that, and then he goes to the promoter and he goes, bro, why are you paying Hammerstone $750 plus a flight plus a hotel? I'll get you a car full of guys. We'll all come for $200 flat. It'll be six of us. And it's like, then the promoter might go, you know what? You're right.
Exactly. You know? Yeah.
So there's, you know, there's both sides of it. There's how it could be valuable to the growth of the business. And there's the side where it could be detrimental. You know, for my own personal reason, I've just kind of stayed hush hush, because especially with MLW being kind of in the underdog position we are, there's people who like to talk. There's people who like to run their mouth. There's people who would never believe the details of my contract if I told them anyway. It's like, I'm sure there's people at AEW who are jealous of what I'm making at MLW if they would have figured it out. But it's like, all of that, it's a personal decision. There's, like you said at the very beginning, there's so much more involved in the contract than just dates and numbers and all these things. So at the end of the day, it's like, I'm going to let people talk, but it does crack me up when I see people presenting something as a hard fact.
I've had some people, like, especially some women in wrestling, be like, well, I'm not going to WWE because I can't run my OnlyFans there, and wherever I am otherwise serves as a commercial for that. And they, like, there are so many elements, and it's more than ever with sponsorships and outside things. For example, you had the opportunity to do a bodybuilding competition recently. Did very, very well at that. Congratulations, by the way. That's something that maybe you would not have been afforded the opportunity to do based on schedule or maybe restrictions elsewhere.
Yeah, you know, it's so strange. Like, that sometimes, like, releasing music through, like, iTunes and Spotify, and then thinking, like, man, if I was with WWE, is this, like, something I'd have to get approved for? Like, I don't know, you know? There just becomes so many subtle, nuanced aspects to it that people don't take into consideration. And yeah, like you said, that bodybuilding competition, it wasn't that, like, you know, another wrestling company might not let me do it, but just the scheduling involved with it, I don't think would have been doable with a WWE schedule. You know what I'm saying? Which is bodybuilding more important than wrestling to me? No. But at the end of the day, you know, little things like that weigh into your overall decision-making process.
We spoke about how MLW has long had a vision, and it wasn't just for you. I mean, the success of Dynasty has been pretty well documented. MJF is where he is in AEW. You are where you are in MLW. Unfortunately, Richard Holiday, what happened with him, nobody could have possibly predicted that. On screen, you know, sometimes friend, sometimes foe, but I mean, how did you react to that? I mean, I personally started to check on Richard about a month after I realized he wasn't wrestling. I was like, something's up here, because he ain't going to go that long without wrestling if he can help it. And by then, I don't even think they knew.
Yeah, so I knew coming into that second match, like, he hadn't been feeling the greatest, but like typical stubborn, hard-headed, like, athlete types were like, oh, you know, maybe my nutrition's just off, or I mean, you know, I'm a little bit overtrained, or I spent too much time in the sun, or I, you know, whatever we try to justify, we just need to push harder. Our problem is we're not trying hard enough, you know. And he came into that match, that second match we had, I believe it was in New York, and he looked awful. Like, he just, not like, oh man, you look like you're ugly, but he looked physically unwell. Like, he looked, his color wasn't right. You know, you could tell, like, he looked kind of clammy. Like, it's, you know, he didn't have that typical, like, full look to his, you know, his musculature. And I'm just like, man, like, has he been, like, slacking on his health and diet? And then in the match, you know, like, he was pushing himself, but, like, I was, like, he got a little bit banged up in that match. I'll put it that way. And not to peel back the curtain too much, I'm trying to drag him through to the finish line. And he's...
And that's he's not kind, him. That's not him.
Yeah. And I'm like, dude, and I remember getting to the back and thinking, like, what the hell, man? Like, come on. Like, this is a main event match. Where are you at? I felt so bad. Come to find out a couple weeks later, it's like, you know, he starts calling me, and at first, you know, I don't want to give about too much of his personal business, but sure, he's getting different tests done. He thinks it's this, he thinks it's that. They're trying to figure out what exactly is going on with him, because something's off. And then when I heard it was cancer, my heart just freaking sank, because it's like, you know, I dealt with that with my girlfriend. And then it's like, growing up, you know, most people like think they're never going to have to deal with that personally. And then to have to deal with two people very close to me back to back. But I always say it was just incredible to hear that very first conversation with him, because people probably get hit by that news and then they might be able to build themselves up. But he talked to me so matter of fact, pragmatically. He's just like, yeah, this is what I have to do. I'm starting the treatment this time, and you know, I'm doing this. And like, he was just like, he already knew that, oh yeah, this sucks, but
incredible composure. Like, I can't imagine being that composed over a situation like that.
I wouldn't be. You know, I've had to take some time off wrestling for, like, stupid minor things, and it kills me. And he was just so, like, he understood that God was presenting, you know, maybe not in his own words, but, you know, the universe was presenting him with an obstacle, and he could either falter or he could run through it. And he said, all right, let's go. And, you know, now we're approaching the time where I'm pretty sure within the next couple of weeks, we're going to be able to be announcing his comeback to the ring, which is so really.
I hope so. I'm so looking forward to it. I had an incredible amount of respect for him anyway, just based on the way that he does things. But the positivity in which he's approached this and the composure, even like, it's hard to tell what's going on in his head, but the outward positivity in which he's approached it, like, he's going to inspire a lot of people, and he's going to help a lot of people as well. And I think he understands. Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day, and Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
His position in doing that as well. Some more positive news. When you won the MLW World Heavyweight title, it wasn't just the MLW title. You're taking it to the UK. You're taking it to Mexico multiple times. How important is that for you to defend that championship on a global scale?
Again, coming back to that, you know, underdog mentality where, you know, there's always going to be somebody who chirps up and, oh, MLW's world title is not really a world title. It's okay. You keep talking. I'm going to prove you wrong, you know? I think everybody in this industry, to some extent, at some point in time, suffers with a little bit of imposter syndrome. Should I be here? Should I be this guy? Am I really this talented? Because you look at, you know, it's really easy to look at the basketball statistics and go, okay, LeBron James is the best according to this number. You can't argue it. With pro wrestling, it's a little bit more gray, right? Someone could go, Hammerstone's the best wrestler ever, and someone else could go, he sucks. And technically, their opinions hold equal weight, you know? So to have that extra chip on my shoulder at all times and to have this championship and to really be pushing myself to do new things with it, take it new places, and then hold it for hopefully the longest reign in the company history, you know, we're approaching that. It means a lot. It's really incredible. It's like you always want to get to a certain level, but you never know if you're going to get there. And then the second you get there, you never know if it's going to be taken away. It's like you're dating your dream girl and you're constantly worried she's going to break up with you. You know, like, so it's like every day is a win and every new accomplishment is a victory. So, you know, I'm trying my best to enjoy it. And just keep focused on the next task ahead.
I like how you mentioned the subjectivity of pro wrestling, because I remember I was talking to a high-level executive in WWE, actually, and I was like, well, the fans like this wrestler, but you see a lot of veterans crapping on him. And that executive said, let me know when those veterans are paying for tickets instead of getting comp tickets, and then I'll listen to them more than I do the crowd that's cheering for them every single week. I just love that. That's the beauty of wrestling. You and Fatu, biggest match in MLW history for obvious reasons. Two just undefeated forces that clashed, and now it's happening again. This is one of those things that you can always go to Hammerstone and Fatu. It is the two like big cornerstones of MLW, and these two forces that clashed. What's it like being back in there with him doing work? Because every time you all do something together, it just screams convincing. And not just based on the way you look, but the way that you two interact with each other.
Yeah, man, it's awesome because we're so different, right? Yeah. But it's like you said, like somehow we wedged out that thing where it's like... I don't feel egotistical saying if you ask 9 out of 10 people who's synonymous with MLW, they're either going to say me or Fatu. Those are like almost the only two answers you're going to get. So to be in that position where we've like carved out, like we're the guys, and you know, the incredible booking that happened to bring us together the first time, where it was a build. And then to be in the unique situation where now, we're a year and a half after that match, having the first rematch. You know, most people, you know, we've been involved in some stuff in the ring. You know, we had a triple threat match. We had the War Chamber match. things of that nature. But as far as a straight up one-on-one rematch, we've taken a year and a half to get here, which is very unique for pro wrestling. Usually when you have something hot, you know, there's something to be said for waiting too long to do something, sure. But there's also something to be said for trying to squeeze all the juice out of the fruit and then now you got nothing left. And I think this timing has been incredible because I know I needed time to grow into this role, to build my confidence, to really understand what it means to be a champion and to, you know, go out there every night and be the guy for the company. Because essentially, I think almost anybody, the first time they're in that position, the first couple months, it's kind of a fake it till you make it. You're kind of like understanding what that role is, what that position is, what that, how to carry yourself, how to, you know, talk, how to walk, how to wrestle, all these things. So I really needed this time period to grow. And then Fatu, you know, he's, you know, like he, Fatu speaks for himself. He's so one of a kind, but he has had this last year where he's gone around and he's had some incredible matches with all kinds of people all over the place. He had that incredible match with Josh Alexander at the Ric Flair's last match, you know, like all these things. So now to be coming back and finally having this rematch, it's going to be something really special. I think anybody who has been waiting to watch MLW, watch this match. I have all the confidence in the world saying this is going to be the greatest Hammerstone match you've ever seen. So if you think I suck after this one, then I give up. I'm not going to try to win you over because this is going to be the absolute best you could get from me.
The contract signing was wild too. Make sure you guys check out MLW Underground on Reels every Tuesday. You also have tapings coming up April 6th, New York City, War Chamber, and then April 8th, Battle Riot. I'm a dork for the Battle Riot, for the Royal Rumble, all that stuff. It appeals to my ADHD sensibilities because it's something new, constant. Yep. And you won one of the Battle Riots. Any fun Battle Riot memories? Because I know those can be fun, chaotic, wild, a lot of different things because there's a whole lot of moving parts there.
Man, the first time, I believe it was the first time I was in Battle Riot. This is not the year that I won it. But there's a wrestler named Ariel Dominguez. He's a very small guy. So, he went up to the top. He goes for a crossbody. I catch him. I don't remember exactly, but basically the idea was, you know, I have him, I'm pressing him, and then I go to throw him out of the ring. And I'm thinking there's going to be some bodies here because, like, these guys just got eliminated. And then I go running to throw him. There's nobody there. And I'm like, it's like scrambling. And then I see someone get eliminated. I'm like, please understand, you're catching this. Like, that was probably my favorite memory where I had this moment of realization of, like, either I'm going to just put this guy down or I'm going to kill him. So
you're going to put him down or you're going to put him down. Like it's one or the other.
That was a good battle ride memory. And then of course the year I won was awesome because just that crowd, man, that Philly crowd, they're fickle to be honest. Like they're harsh. You know, they let you know if you messed the move up, they let you know if you did this wrong or that wrong. If they don't like you, they're really quick to let you know. But that night that I won the Battle Riot was like the most energy I'd ever felt on my side, you know, in a given match at MLW. So it was that was super cool.
You've also you're also a musician, as you mentioned earlier. Are there any other wrestling musicians that you've kind of connected with, done some stuff with?
You know what? It's funny because everybody, whenever they hear like, oh, Hammerstone plays guitar, and like especially because I have like, I guess what would typically be called like metal shaped guitars, like they're kind of extreme looking, and they're like, yeah, you need to release the album, call it Hammer of the Gods of the Burning. This and that. Like, you guys understand? I play like hipster indie white girl rock. Like, I play, you know, I don't know how, like, I mean, obviously.
Out there playing plain white tees or something.
I went through a lot of stages of, like, what I played over the years, but somehow I settled on playing, like, alt indie rock. And it's like, I don't think a lot of people understand there's a huge disconnect of what they see a big jacked up guy, you know, holding a pointy guitar, what they think he's going to play versus what I actually play. And I found that to be true with a lot of wrestlers. A lot of wrestlers like, yeah, we should jam. And then they're like, I was like, they're like playing. And I'm like, let's not jam, you know? So unfortunately I haven't connected with any wrestlers. I actually posted in kind of like one of the Facebook guitar groups I'm in. I posted myself playing the demo of one of my band's songs. And somebody's like, please God, tell me everybody in the band is as jacked as you are. I wish I could just find a group of like four overly jacked wrestlers and be a
be
band.
A great gimmick.
We wouldn't even have to be good. Like people would come just for the visual aspect of it.
Like, do you remember when they would have like the gospel channel and it was the guys ripping the phone books in half? It's like that, but with music, like, and you in the middle of your set, you could destroy like it's too easy.
It's too easy. But the money prints itself.
Yes.
Someone needs to go grab the idea before I finally stop being lazy and do it myself.
As we wrap up, and I mean, correct me if maybe you already have you considered doing your own theme music or theme music for other people?
You know, I wouldn't want to do theme music for other people. I don't know. And then I thought about doing my own at times, you know, like, I even had one thing that I was kind of like working on that I was like, maybe this would be a good one that I've always kind of like, it's still like an unfinished thing in my back pocket. But that being said, especially like on the indies, I started using this song. It's a Queens of Stone Age song that I love. And then MLW was able to get like a royalty free version of it. And it's just, to me, it was like so perfect. It fits so well. And there was that, I was like, I'm so used to this. I don't feel the need for a change. So to want to change it, it would have to be something that was like such an incredible upgrade, you know, that I just maybe it's in the cards in the future, but not the immediate future.
I mean, look at Jeff Hardy. Like he's got his own band. He's made music for years, but the thing people identify him with is this stock music.
Yeah.
I
think for a little while he came out to one of his own like songs.
Yeah, he did.
It was Impact.
In Impact, he had Modest, then he had Obsolete. He had a couple of them. Yeah.
But I was like, nothing. The Jeff Hardy music, nothing is ever going to top that.
Never.
Like, so I'm afraid of getting into that situation where like my ego makes me want to use one of my songs, sure. But it's like, yeah, that doesn't really work.
Guys, make sure you check out MLW every Tuesday on Reels. We always love talking to Alex Hammerstone. Alex, thank you so much for taking the time.
Hey, no, thank you, Sean. I appreciate it. And it's always a pleasure, my friend.
Until next time, guys, we're out.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.